Morning, church. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had a hurricane come through Texas, and the damage that caused was catastrophic, and we remember the pictures of the rain and the water that was so high. And then just a week ago, another hurricane goes through another part of our nation, Puerto Rico, which is, they are American citizens, just as we are, and here we have another opportunity to help. And so next week, we will have another one of those offerings. Usually, you only have about one of these a year, but because of the dire circumstances, and you've seen now the pictures coming from Puerto Rico of just devastation, and they need our help as well. So I'll put the basket out this week in case somebody can't make it next week, but we'll have another offering next week, and this one will go specifically to help out with the mission in Puerto Rico. And that goes through this committee of the United Methodist Church called UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief. So that'll be there after service today, and you'll be welcome to give then. And next week we'll have a special offering to help out with that. And hopefully we won't need a special offering for a while because that'll be the end of our hurricanes. But the world marches on, and people need our help, and it's our call as Christians to do that, and that's one way, just one way that we can help. Another way that we can help comes later. At Christmas time, we are going to have a Christmas gift here at the church. We are going to collect items for these things called cleaning buckets, where we get a bucket from Lowe's, one of those little, 10-gallon buckets? 5-gallon buckets? What, 10-gallon? Oh, my. And we fill it with these supplies that help to clean a house. And then when we send out people to places like Puerto Rico or to New Orleans or to Houston to help, then they take that bucket with them, and everything they need is in the bucket. And that'll be a part where we can physically help out, because we'll assemble those here at the church one day, and then we'll send them off to our place here in the Western Pennsylvania Conference called the Mission Barn. And they are a station where all of these supplies get gathered up, and then you send them out to where they're needed. And they're going to be pretty low on supplies around Christmas time after all of these hurricanes and crazy events in the world. And so part of what we'll do is to restock and help their mission there. I'm going to invite you to come with me into Scripture this morning, into the book of Exodus. I will invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit as you're able to hear these words from God. And I'll invite you to say with me the words you see on the screen there, found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, part of the Ten Commandments, a laws that God gave to the Israelite people, and we believe to the church today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Let's say this together. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. And now hear these words from John. See, these very poignant words which Jesus spoke from the cross during his crucifixion. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. That's a lot of Marys. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her, Mary, into his home. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear from you and only you the words you have to say to us through these words today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we had another commandment called, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And oftentimes that commandment gets translated to this: don't use bad language. Don't use bad words, because you're reflecting poorly on your God when you say those kind of words. But as we discovered during the time that we had that commandment last time, that there's something more to that commandment. That commandment to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain speaks more deeply than just not using bad language. It speaks to the relationship between God and us. That God is more mighty than we are. That we are His creation. And therefore, who are we to use God's name in any way but the way that God demands God's name be used? And so we come to this commandment, which says to honor your mother and your father. And oftentimes this commandment gets used in a way that you may have heard before that sounds something like this. Little kids, teenagers, you better listen to your mom and dad, because it says right there in black and white on the page in Scripture to honor your father and mother. And that means me. And so you better listen to what I have to say. Anybody heard that sermon before? Ever heard it on a day that's not Sunday? Days when mom and dad are kind of frustrated with you. And yes, just as not using coarse language, not using bad words is very important and part of the Christian life. And yes, our children, our young teens, our older teens, even into young adulthood, it is important to listen to those two people who gave you life. Or any of those other figures that come into your life who serve as parental figures. It's important to listen to them. It's important to honor them, to treat them with respect. But once again, there's something deeper to this commandment than just listening to your parents when you're a child. You see, just like that commandment to not take the Lord's name in vain, this commandment is not simply speaking to children. This commandment is speaking to all of us. Those of us who would call ourselves part of God's family, those of us who would call us part of the body of Christ, should treat our parents, should treat other people's parents, should treat anyone who is older than us with honor, with respect, and with dignity. All throughout Scripture, you will see examples of this commandment being given not to young people, but to people my age, even people older than me, people who are in positions of authority and power in government, in the economy, in any walk of life where there are people who have authority. They are to give reverence to those who have walked the journey beforehand. To those who have gone along the way and have done their work and have reached the age where the ability to do the work they used to do isn't what it used to be. And when the time comes when we reach that retirement age where we're no longer able to do the work we could do even 5 years ago, let alone 20 or 30 years ago, it's time for the people of the next generation to take care of those who have moved into retirement years. In God's economy, there's no such thing as someone who has no value, of someone who has no worth. From the youngest child who cannot do a thing because they are too young, to a retired person who is in a senior living center who has lost their mind from Alzheimer's, who cannot do a thing to help themselves. It is the call of the church. It is the call of the younger generation to care for the generations that cannot provide for themselves. That is our calling as the church. That is our calling as people, to care for the widows, to care for the orphans, those whose society would cast aside. And here in the scripture that we read in John this morning is an example of a mother who is losing her son. He's literally being murdered in front of her eyes. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Jesus, we know, is the oldest child. Therefore, he is the one who is going to be expected to care for his mother, this woman who gave him birth, who has watched over him for his life, and now she is not only without her husband, who is never mentioned after the young stories of Jesus' life, so we assume that he's dead, but now she's losing her oldest son, and she needs to be provided for. She needs someone to watch over her. And Jesus, being murdered on the cross, takes time out of that gruesome scene to look at his mother and to provide for her needs. She needs to be taken care of. He can no longer do it. But he finds someone, this one who he loves, this disciple who he trusts, to care for his mother, to watch over her, to make sure that she is not treated poorly because her son is being crucified as a criminal, because she no longer has someone to support her. Jesus, from his cross, says to this disciple, "Will you take care of my mother? Will you provide for her needs while I can no longer do so?" That is the ultimate example of honor your father and your mother. And Jesus was no child. Honor your mother and father. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.